All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3 for the message this evening. And we're going to read the chapter. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use it. Micah chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And I said, Hear, I pray ye, pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, and flay their skin from off them. And they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets." All right, now notice in verse 1, you have the princes. And now in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." Does that sound familiar to anybody? "Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the days shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward." Now watch this. "And the priest thereof teach for hire." So in verse 1, you have the princes. In verse 5, you have the prophets. And now in verse 11, Micah mentions the priest. What was the problem with the priest? Well, they teach for hire. "And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." So they're out here milking the people, and the whole time they're saying, "We're God's people, nothing bad can happen to us." "Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest." So in other words, Micah says, because the princes are corrupt, and because the prophets are corrupt, and because the priests are corrupt, the people have followed and they're corrupt, and God is going to judge Israel. Now this was back 700 years before Jesus. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, and he was a contemporary of Hosea. So there were three of them thundering the same message. And when Micah spoke this, the city and the nation, they were just like they wouldn't listen to Isaiah, they wouldn't listen to Micah. And they ended up, you remember, in the Babylonian captivity. And so this was a prophecy in that point. There are other prophecies. We'll get to those in a moment. But this one was a contemporary prophecy. It was for the time, and it was fulfilled to the minutest of detail. All right, so princes, prophets, and priests, they were corrupt, and they corrupted the people, and God judged them. Everybody with me on that? All right, real quick, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Give us understanding of thy word, and help us to see Micah's point and to realize the great prophecies that are here, and to expose the sin, to expose the corruption, and then to apply it so that we might benefit and learn. Bless us, Father, we pray. We need your help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been looking forward to the book of Micah for weeks now. We have been kind of seeing a running theme over the last several weeks with the last three prophets that we have looked at. 3 weeks ago in Amos, the burden of his heart was that of the divine government of God over the nations, stating that the surrounding nations were also accountable to God. Just because they weren't Jewish did not mean they could just do what they wanted to do. God was going to judge sin. And so it was Amos was a message to the nations surrounding, which if you'll remember, those nations came out of out of Israel. The Edomites and the Ammonites and all of them eventually all the way back to Ishmael. So these nations, just because they were not Jewish, that did not exempt them from God's divine authority and God's divine government. So Amos warned the nations around Israel that they were accountable to God. Then last week in Obadiah, we saw his burden was that of God's government proceeding to judgment against the sin of those nations that have rejected him and have terrorized his chosen people. And last week we saw Jonah, and we saw another aspect of God's government, in that through Jonah he reached out in mercy to the Assyrians and gave them an opportunity to repent, and they did, and their judgment was spared for a generation. And so we turn the page now and we come to the book of Micah. And in Micah, we have a picture of the administration of God's government in the affairs of men. We have a picture of the administration of God's government in the affairs of men. You say, no, what does that mean? Well, in this little book, the nations are spoken of, or spoken to by God, not directly, but indirectly. The method that the prophet Micah used to speak to the nations around him was that he called upon the nations to observe how God was going to deal with his own people, the Jews. Micah recognized and understood that God's chosen people, Israel, were created as a nation, established as a nation, that through them, the fact of the sovereignty of God might be shown to the rest of the world's nations. If you remember, when God called Abraham, he said that Israel was to be a light to the rest of the world. They were to shine for God to the rest of the world. So what Micah does is call upon all these other nations around Israel to watch and to observe the judgment that God was about to unleash upon his own people for their disobedience. And his point is, if God is not pleased with his own people because of their disobedience, can you imagine how God is going to be displeased with you? If God is going to judge his own people in a severe way, and verse 12 is pretty severe. God says that the city was going to be desolate. God says that the city was going to be destroyed. And sure enough, it was. And Micah's point is, hey, world, if God is going to judge his own people for their sins, what makes you think you're going to escape? And so while it's not a direct message to the nations around them, it was an indirect message, and it was a very clear message that was sent. You see, had Israel fulfilled the purpose of God in the midst of all of these surrounding nations, excuse me, these nations would have been able to see God's blessings upon Israel. They would have noticed those blessings, and they would see how serving God and fearing God is to your advantage, and how good and gracious God can be and the government of God truly is. But instead, what happened, Israel failed miserably, and the end result was they had no testimony to the other nations. They became like the other nations. They were to be different. They were to be God's people. But instead, they just became like everybody else. So as you might expect, the fundamental idea of this book is to reveal to us God's authority, God's power as Jehovah God. Micah preached during Isaiah's day and during Hosea's day, and these three men just thundered God's message of warning for the nation to turn back to God and repent of their sin. But you know what happened? They did not do it. And the end result was God led them into captivity, into judgment. Now, the book of Micah contains a message that basically identifies that recognizes that there are various people who have authority and who have responsibility in the nation. So Micah speaks to those who have been granted that authority by the calling of God upon their lives. He speaks to the princes. And you remember that the powers that be are ordained of God. All right, that we learn that in the book of Romans. He speaks to the prophets, and he speaks to the priest. So you have these three offices within the nation, and Micah's message is basically a message to them. And putting the blame for their sin and the blame for the evil that they brought upon the people, and he states that the sin and the corruption of the people is because of the sin and the corruption of these three groups of people who were leading the people. You with me on that? All right. Now, Let me just ask you to think about something. Can you imagine America as a different place today than what it is, had not all of its denominations gone liberal over the last 120 years? Can you imagine? I mean, let's suppose that in every Baptist church in America, and in every Bible church in America, and in every Methodist church in America, and Presbyterian church in America, and Episcopal church, and Congregational church, and, you know, I mean, just imagine if in every church in America there was a rock-ribbed fundamentalist behind the pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with a King James Bible. I think we'd look different today than what we have become. And that is primarily Micah's message. The prophets, the priests, and the princes have wavered, and the people have followed suit. And that leads us to the permanent values of Micah. And they are two. First, Micah unmasks and denounces these false rulers. He unmasks and denounces these false rulers. Now, let's consider what this prophecy teaches us about each group of false leaders. We start with the fault of the princes, the rulers. Micah completely unmasked these leaders. And notice that he names the three sections of these rulers. We have the civil leaders, the civil rulers, that's the princes. And then we have let me just say it this way, that's the government. All right? Then there's the spiritual, which are the priests, and then there's the moral, which are the prophets. And he shows us the weakness of each one of these groups. And in pointing out their sin, his point is that you can see why the people are so far away from God. All you have to do is look at their leadership. You just look at their leadership, and you will see why the people have turned their backs on God. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Of the princes, he says in verse 2, who hate the good and love the evil. I mean, that's their character, folks. They hate good and they love evil. And then you see their conduct. In the rest of the verse, it says, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people. What is Micah saying here? He is speaking of their conduct. And what he is saying here is that these rulers just take and take and take from the people for their own benefit until the people have nothing to stand on. I mean, they peel away the flesh, they peel away the bones, they just peel you away until you've got nothing to stand on. He's painting a picture here. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, this is exactly what's going on in America today. What is right has become wrong, and what is wrong has become right. And we are taxed on everything. So the government can just get bigger and bigger, and as it gets bigger and bigger, it just controls more and more of our lives. History just repeats itself. The only thing we ever learn from history is that we never learn anything from history. And that is so true. Liberalism has never worked. It's been tried over and over and over, and it never works. Secondly, we see the unmasking of the spiritual leaders. Look at verse 11 real quick. He said, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. This is a terrible indictment against the spiritual leaders, the priests. They were the spiritual leaders. And Micah's indictment against the priests is that they teach for hire. He said they claim to know the Lord and to lean upon Him in verse 11. He said they claim to know God and they claim to lean upon the Lord. But notice he says that they don't know the Lord. That's his point. I mean, they claim to know the Lord. He said, what you do is you teach for hire. That's sad, folks. That's sad. You're not going to teach what the people need to hear, but what they want to hear. And I cannot help but think of old Smiling Joe down in Texas, telling tens of thousands in his church and thousands more, millions more on television, what good people they are, and not to fear God's wrath or God's judgment because we're all just the children of God anyway. And I can't help but think of old Herbert Armstrong, who in the 60s and 70s and 80s telling millions of people that there's no such thing as literal fire in hell. Well, I can tell you he believes what the Bible says now. And because they were corrupt, the people were corrupt. It's just that simple, folks. It's not that difficult. Then third, you'll see the fault of the prophets in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. You see, in the Old Testament economy, the prophets stood for the moral standards of the people. But notice that Micah said the prophets cause the people to err. They bite and devour with their teeth, and they cry peace. And if anyone dared stand against them, well, the prophets would look at those people as if they were the enemy, and they would stir the people up against them, and it was like they were at war with the powers that be. Sound familiar? That's exactly what this administration's doing right here in our country. Our own government has taken to spying on us to see who is with them and who is not. And if you're not, well, then they'll just get the Justice Department and the IRS after you. And once they nudge you a couple of times, you'll get back in line. That's the theory. You say, how you know that? Because I read Cass Sunstein's book on nudge. Nudge. If the people won't do what you want them to do, nudge them. Folks, that's what all this gay stuff is about. Just nudging you to tolerate it. You know, I wondered what happened to the Tea Party. I believe I made that statement here. Matter of fact, I know I made that statement here. I made a statement from behind this pulpit. I said, whatever happened to the Tea Party in the 2010 election? And then it was just right after the election, we find out that they were silenced by the powers that be. The Justice Department. The IRS. Tax-exempt status. Strange, huh? Now, I'm going to make a statement, and if I'm not audited for saying this, I'll be audited for what I said a while ago. But I'm going to make another statement. Listen, whenever you find distressed and suffering people, the cause will be discovered if you look at the rulers of those people. Romans 13:1 says, the powers that be are ordained of God. So if the powers that are out of harmony, powers that be are out of harmony with God, if they love evil and hate good, if they do everything and make every decision out of pure selfishness, the people will eventually get to a place of corruption and suffering themselves. All men in all nations, regardless of whether it is a monarchy, whether it's despotism, whether it's republic, it doesn't matter. You still have these three orders referred to by Micah as ruling the people. Doesn't make any difference whether it's a democracy, whether it's a republic. It doesn't make any difference whether it's despotism, if they're ruled by a monarch. None of that matters. In every nation around the planet, you've got these three groups of rulers that are over the people and over the nations. And when these three become false, and they always do, when these three become false, the people are corrupted and desolation follows. Folks, history has proven this to be true. Oh, I'd love to stay here for 3 hours, but y'all wouldn't sit here that long. Secondly, second permanent value. The first permanent value was Micah unmasks and denounces the false rulers. And what was good for Micah's day, what was truth in Micah's day, same truth today. I just unmasked the Obama administration for you tonight. Corruption. To the core, corruption. And look at America. Look at us. I just unmasked liberalism for you tonight. What's liberalism? Don't need that. I'll tell you. Let me tell you how it ought to be. That's liberalism. In a nutshell, that's liberalism. Anytime you get God out of the picture, you're in trouble. Nation, family, job, anytime. That's liberalism. Just imagine, folks. Just imagine. Just imagine the Methodist Church, who have churches on every corner from the Mason-Dixon line south. Imagine they didn't go liberal. Imagine preachers like Bob Jones Sr., who is a Methodist. H.C. Morrison, who is a Methodist. I mean, these great giants of the faith. Imagine Southern Baptist churches that didn't compromise. They never compromised. Imagine. And south of the Mason-Dixon line, there's a Southern Baptist church on every corner down south. I have literally gone and preached at one church and then stood out on the porch, looked across the street, and I was in First Baptist, that's Second Baptist, and right over here's Faith Baptist, and right over here's Calvary Baptist. And you could throw a rock and hit all of them and not even have to grunt doing it. And then you drive down to the end of the block and there's four more Baptist churches. Imagine none of them ever compromised. Imagine none of them ever had a preacher that denied the resurrection. Imagine none of them, all across the country, they never said, we're going to switch Bibles. And Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, they just got up and opened up the Bible and let her rip. I don't think we'd be the America that we are today. Number two, got to hurry. I want you to see this. Number two, Micah saw. Now remember, he just denounced the false rulers. But in the rest of the book, Micah saw the coming of the true ruler. The true ruler. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Watch this. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Micah saw the day coming when the true, the day of the Lord. That's what he saw coming. He saw the day of the Lord coming, and the true ruler of the world sitting on the throne. He saw him, look at chapter 5, verse 1. He saw him coming out of obscurity, out of nowhere. He saw this ruler coming. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You say, who's that talking about? Jesus. Right here, Micah, 740 years before Jesus was born, the Jews knew that the Messiah was coming from the tribe of Judah and was going to be born in Bethlehem. Do you remember when King Herod called the scribes in and the wise men had come? And Herod heard they were here. He brought them in to before him. And he said, who are you looking for? We're looking for the King of Kings. Well, Herod thought he was King of Kings. Oh, yeah, he thought he was hot stuff. And so Herod said, well, when you find him, you bring me word again so I can go and worship him also. Mm-hmm. That sounded like an Obamaism to me. And so they went, and then the star led them to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, they saw the Lord Jesus. They saw that he had been born. And so they came back up to Nazareth, where he had been born in Bethlehem, but he was in Nazareth, 2 years old, probably two or three, when they finally found what Luke says was the young child. So all this time has gone by. There's two years, 3 years maybe. They didn't go to Bethlehem to worship him. No, they went to Bethlehem and they got word. They found out he was born here. Where'd they go? I don't know. And the star led them, and they followed the star, and they found him in Nazareth. They came in and worshiped the young child, Luke said. Not the baby, the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again. Well, the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go see Herod. Don't go see Herod. Don't go. But isn't it interesting that when they wanted to know where the king would be born, Herod calls in the Old Testament scribes. And he says to them, what do the scriptures, your Hebrew scriptures, what do they say about the king that is coming? And they said, well, they said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, that just fired Herod up. So what did he do? He went down to Bethlehem and killed all the babies 2 years old and under. Isn't it something you believe that much of the Bible, but you won't do right, won't give your heart to God. Shameful, sad. And so some 740 years later, Micah saw the Lord Jesus coming out of little old obscure Bethlehem, but notice the last part of the verse, but lasting forever. Lasting forever. You say, yeah, but he died on the cross. Yeah, but 3 days later, just like he said, he came out of the grave. Well, where's he at now? Seated at the right hand of the Father in mercy and grace, calling all to come unto him. Why? Because one day he's going to come back as a ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the true ruler, unlike these false leaders of men. Look at verse 3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of the brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. What's that saying? Verse 3 is telling us that Micah saw the Jews dispersed and then a remnant being called back into the land so that when the Lord comes back, he's got a nation to come back to. You know when verse 3 happened? What you ought to do is just take your pen and write May 1948. Because that's when the remnant came back in the land. That's when the nation was reborn. Then look at verse 4. Verse 4 said, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great until the ends of the earth. In verse 5, we are told he shall stand and he shall feed. Don't forget now these false rulers in chapter 3, the civil, the spiritual, and the moral, the princes, the priests, prophets and the priests, were selfish. And they governed based upon how it benefited them. They governed seeking reward and money and recognition. But Micah saw the true ruler and said he will stand without bending and will feed his flock in the strength of Jehovah God. Wow. Then look at verse 5. And this man shall be the peace. That's the whole issue over there right now. When you go to Israel and you get off the airplane, so the person standing there greeting you will say, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. What's that mean? Peace. It's the way they say hello. Shalom. And everywhere you go, nobody says hello. Nobody says hi. Nobody says, how you doing? Everybody you meet says, Shalom. Peace is, that's all they think about. Because they've never known it. And Micah saw the day coming when this man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will bring peace. The true ruler will finally bring peace. This is the one positive and real issue. Folks, since the day of Solomon, the Jews have not known peace. They have not known peace, and they certainly haven't known it since 1948, nor do they know it today. How would you like to get up tomorrow morning, take your family to the National Guard Armory, and get fitted for gas masks? Well, that's what they did last week. They got up last week, and they had a call system. You had an appointed time, and you looked in the paper and saw when your last name was supposed to be there, and you took your children, and you went, and you got a gas mask. Wonderful way to live. Wonderful way. And in verse 10 through verse 14, we read that this ruler will cut off forever what the false rulers did. Look at verse 10. He said, "It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." And Micah saw the day of the Lord. He saw it coming. All these things in which the people had trusted in, their horses and their chariots and their cities and their strongholds and their witchcraft and their religion and their images and their icons and their soothsayers, Micah said, it's all going to be destroyed. The strength of a nation is never in its military might. And the safety of a nation does not depend upon the vastness of its land nor of the size of its cities. The strength of a nation is its ruler. That's why America is so weak today. And the day is coming, the day of the Lord, in which the true ruler is going to step up out on the clouds. He's going to call his church home, and all manner of chaos is going to unfold on this earth, and it's all being set up right now with what's going on. It's all being set up. And that's what this whole thing they're arguing about right now is about. It's just getting all the pieces in proper place. I told you on Sunday night, I'm surprised we're still here. I really am. I really am. The day of the Lord is coming. And in 7 years after we're gone and this chaos unfolds, the Antichrist has convinced the world that the problem with the world is Israel. The world will turn on Israel. And just before she's destroyed, the ruler is coming back with us. And he will stand. And we'll stand with him. Amen. And that's Micah. Great book. Great book. So now you can read it and you have a good understanding of what it's about. And read it and reread it and realize the ruler is coming.